Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is everybody ready then? Isn't this thrilling?
Hello and welcome to another Series 5 episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the Luxury Podcast. This is the companion podcast for exploring the world of Hyacinth Bouquet in the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name is Jonathan Vernon Smith. And with me is a man who has numerous contacts in the European community. It's William Hanson.
Yes, Jonathan and I here for one final series because, as you all know by now, we absolutely love Hyacinth Bouquet and her world in Keeping Up Appearances.
In each episode of this luxury podcast, William and I take you through an episode of the BBC sitcom, delving deep into the world of the bouquets. And today is the fourth episode of the last series, A Riverside Picnic. Just take us through the synopsis, if you would please, William.
Hyacinth makes plans for a waterside supper with riparian entertainment, which she thinks will be a step up from her normal candlelight suppers. She has chosen a specific part of the riverbank for the event, but is horrified when they turn up there on the day, along with Elizabeth, Emmett, the vicar and his wife, to discover that it's now not quite as idyllic as when she first discovered it. They all take to the river instead, with even more problems.
A fabulous episode. I feel like we say this every single time we do the podcast, William, but they're also good, aren't they? But this one's really good as well.
Yeah. And it's sort of, in some of the earlier series of Keeping Up Appearances, sometimes if you had a really good one, maybe the next one after didn't match or beat. This one definitely matches.
It does. We begin in the countryside. Hyacinth and Richard are in the Rover 216.
And Hyacinth is in her Queen outfit. Can you remember in 2018, when under the reign of the late Queen Elizabeth turned up to a garden party in basically this outfit? I've got the pictures here.
Oh, yes.
Dressed as Hyacinth Bouquet.
She did.
If bucketheads want to look at this, if you sort of Google Queen dressed as Hyacinth Bouquet, there is a Daily Mail article with a side-by-side photograph. And she's come as Hyacinth, white gloves and all. Maybe Her Majesty's sleeves are a little bit longer. But yes. This is this outfit that we find Hyacinth in the car.
Fabulous. They're following a tractor that is absolutely loaded up with horse manure. And when the tractor goes over a bump, it splatters a dollop of the horse manure all over the windscreen of the Rover, which is not pleasant.
No, not at all.
You, of course, as someone who lives in London,
yes.
I presume you rarely encounter horse poo.
Yes, but do remember I did grow up in the country.
That's true. I am forever finding a dollop of it outside my drive.
Oh, no.
Yes, because I get horses riding past my house every single day. Lots and lots of horses come past my
incontinent house. Horses, clearly.
Well, quite often, they will relieve themselves at my entrance. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't best please me.
No.
Because it squashes into the tyres of my car.
Yeah, I bet it does. Do you use language like Richard does?
In my head, yes.
Yes.
Yes, you'd never hear it coming out of my mouth.
It's nice that Hyacinth, clearly, they've been married so long, she can sort of, even though Richard isn't saying it...
Mm.
She knows what's going on in Richard's head.
Yes.
And I wondered whether, in your other role, your producers can know what you're thinking in your head.
Yes, they do. Yes.
What range of emotions can they detect?
Well, you should ask them. Mm. Maybe you should invite them onto a future episode of this podcast,
yes.
Because they'd be able to tell you all of my inner workings.
I'd love that.
They know me very well. And they know every single twitch and facial expression and what it means.
And I'm sure you're, and I can speak for this, you're very easy to work with.
Are you being sarcastic?
Me? No, on this you're very easy to work with.
Thank you, yes. I'm generally easy to work with. I just don't like incompetence or sloppy behaviour. Should I encounter incompetence or sloppy behaviour, I tend to get a bit snappy.
Yes. Mm. Woe betide anyone.
No. But thankfully, you're a joy to work with, William.
So thank you.
You never see the snappy side of me.
No, which is excellent.
Liz is outside watering. She's watering the garden and she says to Emmett, you can come out, it's perfectly safe. They've gone off for a drive.
And he's gone back to being that sort of scared, pathetic Emmett rather than the play into it camp Emmett, which is a shame. The other thing that sort of, again, watching this episode with an analytical bent to it, is why did he not just go and sit in the back garden?
Well, you never see either Liz's back garden or Hyacinth's, really, do you?
No.
No, there's a brief moment where they come out of the back door of Hyacinth's house, but you certainly never see Liz's back door.
But he... No. More's the pity.
Emmett is then reading the Telegraph.
Yes.
And did you notice the headlines on the front page of the Telegraph?
No.
There's a headline about Russia and another headline about enemies of the then Prime Minister, John Major. It's like history is repeating itself.
Yes. How wonderfully we've moved on in 33 years.
Yes, that will, of course, mean a lot to our British audience that take an interest in world affairs, not so much to our listeners further afield.
In Russia.
No, definitely not. Do you think we have any bucket heads in Russia?
I'm sure we do.
Well, if so, have a word, will you?
And they wouldn't have these problems if they sung together.
No.
Not enough people sing together.
That's true. Hyacinth and Richard are back on the road, and Hyacinth wants to see the river.
Yes, and just as they hit the peak of the bridge, she begs Richard to stop.
Yes. Stop!
So she can appreciate the view.
Yes.
And obviously, funnily enough, as what happens on a road, there's a car behind.
Yeah.
Who is not best pleased
honks
on this
the horn.
Narrow bridge they can't pass. And then again, and we've sort of said this with Series 5, you get little bits of sort of extra stuff that starts to creep in and they play around with these tropes. Richard talks about the bucket bouquet thing.
Yes.
And it's the only time it's addressed, I believe.
Yeah.
Other than people getting the pronunciation wrong.
It was always bucket until I met you, he says.
And I love it because it just gives us a little glimmer into the slight backstory, confirming what we already know.
Yes. And I wonder whether Richard had any family.
Yeah.
And how they felt about Hyacinth.
Mm.
Whole other spin-off that could have occurred.
That's what it could have been. Mm. We'll talk about young Hyacinth another time.
You're in a very funny mood today, Richard Bouquet. I can hear you thinking again.
And it's not bouquet, it's bucket. It was always bucket till I met you.
Don't let's go through all that again.
Onslow and Daisy are sunbathing outside the front of their property.
Yes, although we don't at first know it is the front of their property because of the close shot.
With the windbreak in the background.
Yeah. And
did you ever have childhood memories of sitting on a beach with a windbreak?
Once, yes.
Every single holiday in
always
the
UK. A British beach, yes.
The windbreak around you, my mother's feet up on the cool box, eating sandwiches with sand in them.
Did she bring out a Mars bar from a bucket of...
Honestly.
Bucket of ice.
Honestly, I don't know why we used to bother, but we did.
Yeah, and there is, again, it's a nice bit of Onslow and Daisy dialogue. What happened to that terrible bird you used to knock about with?
I married you.
Yeah.
She's reading The People.
Ah.
I don't think The People still exists as a newspaper, does it?
No, I don't think it does. There's a lot of newspaper chat in this, isn't there? Because we're going to come on to the Vicar's newspaper, I'm sure, in a minute.
We certainly are. Hyacinth and Richard are now by the river. And she loves it. She's revelling in the river, isn't she, really?
Yeah, and so much. In fact, I think everything at this point has been filmed on location.
Yeah. The next scene, they're in a boat. She loves it so much, they've obviously commandeered a boat. Poor Richard is rowing. And Hyacinth decides at that very moment that the whole atmosphere is perfect and she's therefore going to hold a riverside picnic.
And as she's coming up with this idea... Again, following the theme of the Contessa 2 episode, she announces to Richard, mind the yacht! I thought, it's not a yacht, it's a rowboat. But it's lovely. Have you ever done rowing?
Yes. Yes,
do you like it?
No.
No.
No. Why would anyone like rowing?
Awful. That's why God invented motors.
Exactly.
You can zip along on your motor.
It's very exhausting. And the coordination on a rowing boat where you have to sit backwards and kind of row your way backwards.
And not see where you're going.
No, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's not nice. We once went on a, it was a big family holiday with my aunt and uncles and cousins. And we were on holiday in the Dordogne region of France.
Of course you were.
And we all decided to go kayaking.
Oh, hideous.
Absolutely hideous.
Yes.
We fell out big time.
It was
my brother and my cousin Tom and me in one kayak. Mm. And we could not get it going in a straight line.
No.
We were absolutely foul with each other.
Mm.
I must have been 15. James would have been 12. It was not a recipe for success.
I went kayaking in Spain a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And it was a two-hour experience. And I kind of arrived on the beach and put my life jacket on. And there was this young chap who was our kind of tour guide. And he was very excitable and exuberant.
Oh, no.
And was kind of getting everyone in their boats. And I got in my boat and everyone started going. And within literally, I would say a minute and a half, I was exhausted.
Yeah, don't blame
and
you.
And we'd only just set off. And he's like, come on, everyone. Come on, guys. And I wanted to batter him to death with my oars.
And it's continuing a theme from last week.
2 hours in this kayak. The rest of the holiday was ruined because I couldn't move my arms.
Because of your rowing?
Because of the kayaking. Yeah.
It's never worth it.
He said, well, let's go round the rocks. And as I'm going round the rocks, the waves were smashing my kayak into the side. It was awful.
People do this for fun.
I know. I paid for that.
Yeah.
It was awful. And the trouble is you can't go back. Because
no.
You don't want to look like a fool in front of the group, do you?
No. No, you've got to style it out.
No, and then they started taking photos of us. Well, all of my photos, I have face like thunder, you can imagine. It was awful.
Definitely not riparian entertainment.
That's true.
There's cut to, they're now out of their windbreak and back inside in bed, as they normally are.
Mm.
Onslow and Daisy can hear a banging noise.
Yeah.
And there's a great line from Onslow. Has Rose got a man in? And if she had, they're doing very odd things.
Mm.
That noise.
Then they work out it's probably Daddy.
Yes.
We're never quite sure what Daddy's doing, actually, in this episode with that banging.
Nope. Doesn't get paid off at all.
No, you kind of watch it and you think, well, there's obviously going to be some kind of conclusion to this banging noise. Nothing.
No.
I think it's a Roy Clark eccentric moment.
Yes, I would agree. It's just, we'll just write it for the sake of filling a page.
Hyacinth and Richard are in bed and all of a sudden...
There's no banging there.
Hyacinth just comes out with a major pronouncement. Riparian!
Which means of the river bank.
Yeah, she's found the word in Sheridan's dictionary.
I love the fact Richard's asleep and his shock at waking up.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
As she's going through the dictionary looking for a suitable word, I presume this is for the invitation.
Yes.
She needs the word riparian.
And again, it's just sort of marketing. She would be great in marketing now.
And she's come up with the full phrase for the experience, which is going to be a waterside supper with riparian entertainments.
And what is interesting with that last word in that sentence is that at some points in the episode it's entertainment and other points it's entertainments. It fluctuates and it sort of depends on whether they're on location or in the studio at Television Centre.
But it's always riparian.
Indeed.
With a roll.
More Onslow, Daisy, Daddy chat. He's inventing something. We won't worry too much about it.
No.
Because it never gets paid off.
Oh! I'd better get that. It might be the burglar alarm salesman asking me if it's Wednesday.
It's not. It's Monday. We'll be, depending on when you listen to this, we'll be back momentarily.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're still discussing the fourth episode of the fifth and final series, A Riverside Picnic. And we are now outside Waney Elm. The postman is there throwing the letter.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to go near the door. And obviously, he falls short.
Hyacinth catches him in the act. And she wants a word with him.
I like the shot where we've sort of got, it's the doorstep and just her legs appear and step in. I think it's a very funny shot.
Yes. The reason she wants a word with the postman, she wants to see if he has the invitation for next door.
Mm.
She's posted it because, of course, she likes people to know she only uses first-class stamps.
I don't think this is silly. When Mikey and I got married...
Here we go.
And our neighbours, who actually are neighbours within the same building...
You didn't send it to your next-door neighbour.
We did.
Because she wanted them to know you use first-class stamps.
Yes. And we took a photograph of us posting their letter. So when they would check their mail, hilariously, as I've said on this podcast before, I'm the only person in our block who checks the postbox. So not only did I post their letter, I then collected it from our communal postbox to put in their rack and then take downstairs to give them.
Right.
Completely waste of my time.
And money.
Yes. But... they now know I use first-class stamps.
As if they didn't before.
Yes.
And they go through that rather funny moment where he is refusing to reveal whether he has the invitation. And so she describes the describes the envelope.
Can you remember it without looking at your notes?
It's a lavender colour?
No.
No, it's a lilac colour.
No.
No? It's...
Mauve.
Lavender-scented. Mauve and lavender-scented.
And what is the postage stamp?
Aligned perfectly to the right.
Yes, to the edge of the envelope.
Yes.
But what I do think is odd, particularly as we know Liz and Emmett's surnames from other episodes, is that she says the envelope is addressed to Liz and Emmett, Elizabeth and Emmett. Mm. Hyacinth would not have addressed an envelope like that, because that is not correct on an envelope.
No.
It would be Mrs. X Warden. We don't know what her husband's name is. Or it could be Mrs. E. Warden, if we're being modern, and Mr. E. Hawksworth.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Elizabeth and Emmett. So I felt that was a little bit, that jarred with me and Hyacinth's love of correct form.
Right. Well, you must write to Harold Snowd and tell him.
I will.
The vicar and his wife are having breakfast, and it's clear they've been invited to the waterside supper with riparian entertainment. Or, as the vicar's wife says, riparian entertainment.
Yes. And talking of the vicar's wife... tomorrow on our bonus.
No.
She's here.
Oh, how wonderful.
Our new close personal friend.
She's coming for riparian entertainment.
Yes. Wonder if she'll bring anything.
Yes. Marion Barron.
Yes.
Oh, lovely. I can't wait
to meet her.
So do tune in tomorrow, Bucketheads. Elizabeth and Emmett have also been invited.
Yes.
To the waterside supper with riparian entertainment.
We've skipped over the vicar's newspaper.
Ah.
The Independent.
The Independent.
Which I think a vicar probably would read.
Probably.
Is that the one that's... No, that's still going.
No, the it's Independent online. No longer exists as a paper. It is only online.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So if this was now, he'd be scrolling on a news app.
He certainly would be. The vicar decides that he's going to call to tell Hyacinth that they're not going to be going. But of course, when he tries to do so, he fails miserably. And then the phone goes dead.
Yeah.
Because he's given up. He's realised that he's lost the battle with Hyacinth, so he just puts the phone down. Bit rude.
Yeah, it's very rude. I like the fact, though, that we are seeing the guests try to decline.
Yeah.
I like the poetry of seeing each guest attempt to stand up to Hyacinth and obviously fail.
Hello? Hello? Vicar, are you there? You must have been spirited away.
Emmett climbs over the wall. He's going to ring the doorbell. And as he rings the doorbell, the front door opens. Emmett! He also fails. And poor Elizabeth, who finds it quite funny that he's failed, then gets invited to coffee in 10 minutes.
Yes, but Emmett does manage to stand up and decline the coffee invitation. So yes, he sort of finally musters that strength. Mm. And he's quite quick with it. We've talked before about how you would decline things. You'd just sort of say, no, thank you.
No,
and
thanks.
Put the phone down.
Yeah.
But, like the vicar. But Emmett is actually, so he does it quite nicely. Oh, no, thank you, Hyacinth.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't make a meal out of it like he was potentially doing earlier. Going over to Onslow's, there's obviously more building work that's continuing, and we've said that that doesn't get resolved. But at this point, it put me in mind that you, for all your quirks and eccentricities, are quite handy, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're quite handy around the house.
No, I'm not. What do you mean I'm handy?
You stripped a carburettor.
Oh, yes, I did strip
exactly.
A carburetor. Yeah, yeah, I did.
Compared to most of our listeners that will be listening to this, you're basically Handy Andy.
Well, no, I wouldn't get too carried away with my one moment of success stripping the carburetor like a manly mechanic.
What did you do over the Easter weekend? Didn't you do something with a seal?
I replaced the rubber seal on the bottom of my bath shower screen, yes.
Oh, hang on. I've done that. You just slide it off and then slide another one on.
All right, there's no need to belittle my achievement. I mean, I actually had to replace it twice because the first one I snapped when I tried to put it on.
Oh.
But let's gloss over that.
Yes.
But no, I wouldn't describe myself as a handy person. I'm generally quite useless. I mean, drilling a hole always fails.
Mm. We should have more practice.
So, no, I wouldn't describe myself as a handy person.
Well, I would.
Well,
I'm giving you that accolade.
I'm very touched, but don't ever invite me round to do DIY for you.
No.
You wouldn't want me doing that.
Okay, but no. Noted. They're then outside Wainy Elm. I think we don't have any more. Oh, there's one little tiny bit of the studio. But they're outside Wainy Elm. A convoy of cars parked outside.
Yes.
And Hyacinth is checking everything over, being very patronising to, I think, Emmett. Oh, what a neat knot,
yeah,
she says.
She comes out with my favourite line in this episode, where she turns to Richard and she says, oh, do be careful with my custom-made plastic picnic ware, Richard.
Is that your favourite line in
I
this?
I love it.
Okay, I have a different favourite
line.
My
custom-made plastic picnic ware.
Who has custom... Even I would not have custom-made plastic picnic ware.
Wonderful.
It wouldn't be plastic if I had it custom-made.
Well, that's what I quite like about the line.
Yes. Anyway. But more practical,
yeah.
I guess. Where are the prawns? I like. And indeed, that entire prawn chat, when they finally get to go, which I'm skipping on a bit, but we'll go back. And that lovely line, upon you depends the safety of my select Norwegian prawns.
Yes. Did you notice as well, in the background, one of the neighbour's little boys comes out of the end of the drive while they're all loading the cars up. A little boy in the background appears at the end of the drive and he's watching this all unfold.
Oh, no.
And he was probably, you know, genuinely just a little boy coming out to play and suddenly saw a television programme, a hit BBC sitcom,
yes,
being filmed outside his house.
Yeah, okay, no, I'll make watch sure
it I watch
it
back,
that.
You'll see him in the background.
And there's talk at this moment of Violet. And we'll come on to Violet in a minute.
Mm.
But Violet is sort of, there's this discussion as to where she is.
Yeah, she's supposed to have turned up to help take everything to the riverside, isn't she?
And Hyacinth goes back to phone her into the hall.
Mm.
And there's, again, there's another little sort of just slight twist on the normal trope of Mercedes Sauna and Room for a Pony.
Yes.
It's now Mercedes Sauna and a musical B-Day. Mm. Classical, of course.
Of course it is.
Which sounds, whether it's classical or pop music, it's very nouveau riche to have a musical B-Day.
Do you like a B-Day?
Not massively.
No. I think There's something about us Brits, we don't quite get it, do we?
No.
A bidet really is what your mum washes her feet in on holiday.
Yes.
You don't use a bidet for what it was designed for.
No. I never know, are you meant to sit forwards or back?
I don't think it much matters.
No.
You just have to make sure the jet's in the right place.
I thought you filled the bowl a bit like a sink.
No, you can do.
And you sat there and you splashed around.
There's a jet that comes up from the middle.
Oh.
And you can, I mean, it probably makes more sense to face the wall. So you sit on it and you turn the tap and the jet blasts where it should blast.
Mm.
And then you kind of wash yourself and then you use a towel.
Yeah.
It's just, it's never going to work.
No.
Is it?
It's no. But it's un-British. It's
what, washing your bottom?
Well, in that way. It's a bit continental.
It is a bit continental, yes. Isn't it? Yes, but anyway, Violet has a musical bidet.
Yeah.
Which presumably, you know, bursts forth with Edelweiss or something while she's washing her bottom.
Handel's water music. Which would be appropriate.
It would.
There's discussion as to why Violet's not there. Bruce can't stand up. He's drunk on sherry.
Yes, he is. So she's going to have to get somebody else to drive her in the Mercedes to the river.
From the same income bracket, however.
Yes.
Also, we see Onslow driving the Mercedes, yes?
Not yet. Yeah, but we will do, yes.
Yeah, I want to come back to that.
Okay.
Don't make me forget.
All right.
Isn't this thrilling?
Why did you put her in my parish?
They're still getting ready for the off. Hyacinth appears now wearing what I refer to as her luxury waterside outfit.
Yes, with a little sort of pelmet.
Yes. What was it called in the 40s when they did the Charleston? And was it
the
flappers?
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks like a flapper.
A riparian flapper. She's ready for waterside entertainment.
She's a right flapper, old. Off they go. The vicar has a different car.
Oh, is he upgraded?
Have you noticed? Peugeot, the trusty Peugeot, is not there. Instead, he and his wife are driving the same colour car, but it's a different car. Do you know what it is?
No.
No? It's a Vauxhall Cavalier.
Is that better than the Peugeot?
In tonic blue.
Oh, again?
It's in tonic blue.
He knows what he likes.
But it's a Vauxhall Cavalier. Off they go, and they're going down a road that's full of potholes, and there's that nice physical moment where Hyacinth decides she'd better get out and guide their way through the potholes.
But just before that happens, and they're going over these potholes, her hat, is, I thought it was a bit odd. They do like a comedy sound effect, where a twang, and it's clearly not the sound that her hat makes, as her hat slightly tips back.
Right.
And I just felt it was a little bit over slapstick.
Oh, okay.
Note to the writer.
Yeah, quite. So she's there guiding them through the potholes, and is it the vicar or is it Emmett who says that must be so tempting?
Emmett.
It's Emmett.
It's psychopathic Emmett.
Psychopathic, sadistic Emmett.
Yeah.
Who wants to mow her down.
In a hit and run.
Yes. They arrive at the river, and they're all carrying the equipment.
Yes, and we see then the debut on screen of Violet, played by Anna Dawson.
Yes.
She's only in 4 episodes.
Onslow is driving the Mercedes. Now, why did this strike you as being unusual?
Is he insured?
Oh, good point.
Mm.
When you
I suspect the answer to that is no.
Well, you say that. But generally, when you insure your vehicle, fully comprehensive, you are then normally, with most good insurance companies, you are also insured to drive anybody else's car with their permission, but only third party. So had he had an accident in Violet's Mercedes, the third party would have been covered on Onslow's insurance. But as for Violet's Mercedes, it probably would have been a write-off.
Okay, fair enough. But this is Onslow. Do you think he has car insurance?
Oh, what? So he was driving the Cortina illegally?
It's just a hunch.
Oh, gosh. Well, in that case, no, he wouldn't have been insured. And
would he be with a reputable insurer if he did have insurance?
Well, probably not.
Don't want to strip the fun out of this.
I was going to say, they're there in the Mercedes. It's Onslow, Daisy, Violet, Rose and Daddy.
Yes. And then we cut back to the other revellers, the riparian revellers.
They're still walking along the river, just round the next bend.
Getting very out of breath. Sing if you like.
Yes, we love to go
a-wandering along the river bank.
Oh.
I believe it goes.
The river bank, or was it the mountain path?
Well, she sings the riverbank.
The riverbank. Yes. Well, that works then, doesn't it?
Verse two was mountain.
Unfortunately, the position that Hyacinth had chosen for the waterside supper with riparian entertainments has been ruined by the presence of a dredger.
Yes. And she goes all very Julius Caesar. Friends! Don't be faint-hearted, yes, doing her sort of Julius Caesar or Henry V type speech, which I quite like. Again, it was a different type of Hyacinth that we get. But over on the other side of the riverbank, Violet and co. have arrived,
yep,
and start setting up for their own picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe in another episode we'll discuss the sort of the, how Violet is portrayed. And sort of the acting choices that were made. But I think it's sort of, I think that is sort of how I pictured Violet. But I can't really remember how I pictured Violet the first time I watched all these episodes before I saw Violet.
Mm.
But I think they get the look quite right.
Yes. Yeah, I think Violet is supposed to just be, she's obviously the sister who's married into money,
mm,
and yet she's still totally down to earth. She's not, yeah, like Hyacinth at all, is she?
No, and actually how they're portraying her obviously is a bit nouveau riche, musical bidet, etc.
Mm.
But actually if you sort of took Violet now and put her in today,
mm,
terribly sophisticated.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't say nouveau riche at all.
No.
By today's standards.
No. I mean, who hasn't got a musical bidet these days?
I'm going to go and get two.
Of course you are.
Friends! I'm sorry to have to inform you that some hostile and inconsiderate person has seen fit to place a dredger at my chosen spot. Don't be faint-hearted, I have a solution.
So Hyacinth has suggested they'd better go and find an alternative spot.
And they then get into their craft, mm, into this procession of boats. It's now not a convoy of cars, but a fleet of boats going down the river at Oxford.
Yes.
Presumably very near where Contessa II is moored. Because if you notice, one of the boats in the distance is called the Benson something.
Oh.
And again, it was the Benson Marina,
right,
where they filmed Contessa II in Series 3.
They get to a lock, and Hyacinth doesn't understand the lock system. Have you ever done a lock?
No.
Have you not?
Oh. No, have you?
Yes, many years ago, we went on a narrowboat holiday.
There are locks in Berkhamsted, aren't there?
There are locks
where
in Berkhamsted.
Where we went on a lovely dinner.
That's right.
Recently.
It's a very enjoyable dinner. Locks, it's rather interesting because in this episode, they have a lock keeper.
Mm.
But in my experience, most of the locks you have to do yourself, which involves getting out of the boat. And you have to crank this handle to let the water, because you know the lock helps with the water level being different.
Yes.
So you have to kind of let the water out, and then the boat lowers, and then you're on the next level of water, and off you go.
Mm.
But you have to do it yourself. And we went on this narrowboat holiday. My mum said it was the most boring holiday she'd ever had.
Don't blame her.
Hated every minute of it.
Yeah.
Doing a maximum of 4 miles an hour on the English canal system.
Oh.
Pretty dull.
We must have done it. We did a holiday on the Norfolk Broads when I was six. And I suspect we did. I can't really remember it.
So boring.
Yeah.
Boats are boring though, aren't they? I don't understand why people get excited about boats.
Unless it's the QE2.
Unless it's the QE2.
I like the fact that she just bypasses all the other boats,
yeah,
completely ignoring naval etiquette with, "Thank you very much, holidaymakers."
She also tells the lockkeeper that they've sailed on the QE2.
Yes, which is why he should get on with it.
Yes.
Not, and she tries to stand up and is slightly wobbly.
Yes.
That sort of looks like she was actually doing that within the lock. You know, well, there's no. Later on, it's clearly a stunt person.
Patricia Routledge did apparently every single stunt bar two. There were two stunts she didn't do. Now, I presume one of them was where she fell out of Contessa 2 into the river.
Yes.
I don't know what the other one was, though.
Well, I think this episode, getting drenched.
Really?
But also, she didn't climb over the wall in episode series 1.
Well, she said that she had done all of the stunts bar 2.
Well, if we ever meet her,
we'll ask her.
That's question one.
We cut to them all rowing down the river. And Hyacinth can't understand why they're going so slowly, because when you watch the boat race, they seem to go much quicker than that.
But there are eight of them.
That's true.
And at all this point, they've been outside for quite some time now, probably longer than anticipated. Do you know what went through my mind?
What?
You shouldn't be eating those select Norwegian prawns.
No.
You get
Do they go off quickly, then?
You don't want seafood or eggs or dairy in the sun or in the heat. You get really ill.
No.
Unless they're in a cool box.
Well, you know I don't eat anything that swims.
No.
So I wouldn't know. I mean, eggs. Hard-boiled egg, that would be all right.
Not if it's been sitting in the sun. I wouldn't.
What, even for a couple of hours?
Sitting in the sun? I wouldn't risk it for a biscuit.
Oh, gosh. No. Okay. Well, thank you for that hygiene advice.
Thank you. Call me Dr. Lisa.
Hyacinth decides she's going to assist Richard with the rowing. So she goes to sit next to him.
I think that's uncharacteristically nice of her.
It is sweet, isn't it? Unfortunately, it doesn't go without incident, though, because she knocks him off his seat while she's trying to manoeuvre herself into the boat.
And I think at this point, it's sort of they're setting it up for a slight reprise of the Contessa II falling into the river. But obviously, we don't get that. We get something else.
What they don't see is because they're rowing and their back is...
Which is a good gag because it's been set up earlier. For those that don't know rowing, they've set up the fact you don't face in the direction.
That's absolutely right. And they're rowing into, what they don't realise is the dredger that is still there lifting all of the mud and riverbank or riverbed out of the water. And, of course, they row straight into it, get completely drenched.
Love it. We then cut to the lovely picnic, probably the picnic that Hyacinth had in mind. That bizarrely her down market family are doing. And they're sitting having a nice time as this procession of boats goes past, but in reverse order.
Yes.
Liz and Emmett first. Yes. Wave at them.
They say, hello. Hello, Onslow.
Then Vicar and Vicar's wife, all very cordial.
And finally, wait for it, the big reveal. A drowned rat Hyacinth.
Looking very, very stately. And as Onslow says, and good on Onslow for paying his sister-in-law a compliment, you have to admire that stiff upper lip.
Yes.
Little bit of a royal wave.
Yes, as they go past. And I also like, there was a line that appears a little earlier from the vicar who says, well, I haven't had the picnic, but I must say I enjoyed the riparian entertainment.
Nice line.
And as did we watching it.
Yes, good episode.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
Tough question. Hyacinth is alarmed. Riparian Entertainment, which is your favourite?
Hyacinth is alarmed.
Yes, true.
Without a doubt.
This one probably just after.
Yeah. Very good, though. What fun we've had.
Indeed.
And if you want to keep up with the bouquets, you can, of course, listen to William and me chatting through every episode of Series 1, 2, 3 and 4. You should know by now, for the fifth and final series, we have a second weekly serving of the luxury podcast with genuine bonus embellishments.
Yes, we'll be back tomorrow with an even more luxurious fourth episode of our bonus release, where, as we said, we will be talking to Marion Baron, the vicar's wife.
For now, cheerio.
Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.